new to me. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Go Premanande Arivo. May I please have a Krishna book? Take a couple of them because you can't carry all those. What? Take a couple at a time. Okay. Thank you. Chapter 37, Akura's Arrival in Vrindavan. Narada Muni did not mention Krishna's killing Vyomasara, which means that he was killed on the same day as the Keshi demon. The Keshi demon was killed in the early morning, and after that the boys went to tend the cows on Govardhan Hill, and it was there that Vyomasara was killed. Both demons were killed in the morning. Akura was requested by Kamsa to arrive in Vrindavan by evening. After receiving instructions from Kamsa, Akura started the next morning via chariot for Vrindavan. Because Akura himself was a great devotee of the Lord, while going to Vrindavan he began to praise the Lord. Devotees are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and Akura was constantly thinking of Lord Krishna's lotus eyes. He did not know what sort of pious activities he must have done to gain an opportunity to go see Lord Krishna. Akura thought that if Krishna willed, he would be able to see him. Akura considered himself most fortunate that he was going to see Krishna, whom great mystic yogis desire to see. He was confident that on that day all the sinful reactions of his past life would be finished and his fortunate human form of life would be successful. Akura also considered that he was very much favored by Kamsa, who was sending him to bring back Krishna and Balaram, and thus enabling him to see the Lord. Akura continued to consider that formerly great sages and saintly persons were liberated from the material world simply by seeing the shining nails of the lotus feet of Krishna. That Supreme Personality of Godhead has now come just like an ordinary human being, and it is my great fortune to be able to see him face to face, Akura thought. He was thrilled with the expectations of seeing the very lotus feet which are worshipped by great demigods like Brahma, Narada, and Lord Shiva, which traverse the ground of Vrindavan and which touch the breasts of the gopis covered with tinges of kumkum. He thought, I am so fortunate that I will be able to see those very lotus feet on this day. And certainly I shall be able to see the beautiful face of Krishna, which is marked on the forehead and the nose with tilak, and I shall also see his smile and his curling black hair. I can be sure of this opportunity because I see that today the deer are passing on my right side. Today it will be possible for me to actually see the beauty of the spiritual kingdom of Vishnu Loka, because Krishna is the Supreme Vishnu, and he has invented himself out of his own goodwill. He is the reservoir of all beauty, therefore my eyes will be filled today. Akura knew beyond doubt that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Vishnu. Lord Vishnu glances over the material energy, and thus the cosmic manifestation comes into being. Verse Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 10th verse. Mayadyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunani nakonteya jagadvi parivartate. And although Lord Vishnu is the creator of this material world, he is free by his own energy from the influence of material energy. By his internal potency, he can pierce the darkness of material energy. Similarly, Krishna, the original Vishnu, by expansion of his internal potency, created the inhabitants of Vrindavan. In the Brahma Samhita, it is also confirmed that the paraphernalia and the abode of Krishna are expansions of his internal potency. Verse Ananda Chinmayarasa Pratibhavita Vista Virya Eva Nija Rupataya Kalavi Goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuto govindamadi purushamta mahambhajami. The same internal potency is exhibited on earth as Vrindavan, where Krishna enjoys himself with his parents and in the company of his friends, the cowherd boys and the gopis. By the statement of Akura, it is clear that since Krishna is transcendental to the modes of material nature, the inhabitants of Vrindavan who are engaged in loving service to the Lord are also transcendental. Akura also considered the necessity of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. He thought that the transcendental activities, instructions, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna are all for the good fortune of people in general. The people can remain constantly in Krishna consciousness by discussing the Lord's transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, and paraphernalia. How can the people remain constantly in Krishna consciousness? And more specifically in this sentence, by discussing the Lord's transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, and paraphernalia. Is there a verse that says that? Machita magata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantashtamam nitya tushanti cha ramanti cha. By doing so, the whole universe can actually live auspiciously and advance peacefully. But without Krishna consciousness, civilization is but a decoration for a dead body. A dead body may be decorated very nicely, but without Krishna consciousness, such decorations are useless. Human society without Krishna consciousness is useless and lifeless. Akura thought, that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna has now appeared as one of the descendants of the Yadu dynasty. The principles of religion are his enacted laws. Those who are abiding by such laws are the demigods, and those who are not abiding are demons. He has invented himself to give protection to the demigods, who are very obedient to the laws of the Supreme Lord. The demigods and the devotees of the Lord take pleasure in abiding by the laws of Krishna, and Krishna takes pleasure in giving them all sorts of protection. These activities of Krishna, his protection of the devotees and killing the demons, are confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, are always good for men to hear and narrate. The glorious activities of the Lord will ever increasingly be chanted by the devotees and demigods. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the spiritual master of all spiritual masters. He is the deliverer of all fallen souls and the proprietor of the three worlds. Anyone is able to see him by eyes smeared with love of Godhead. Verse. Santaksadaiva. Yamshamasundaram. Today I shall be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who by his transcendental beauty has attracted the Goddess of Fortune to live with him perpetually. As soon as I arrive in Vrindavan, I will get down from this chariot and fall prostrate to offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord, the Master of material nature and all living entities. The lotus feet of Krishna are always worshipped by great mystic yogis, so I shall also worship his lotus feet and become one of his friends in Vrindavan like the cowherd boys. When I bow down before Lord Krishna in that way, certainly he will place his fearless lotus hand on my head. His hand is offered to all conditioned souls who take shelter under his lotus feet. Krishna is the ultimate goal of life for all people who fear material existence, and certainly when I see him, he will give me the shelter of his lotus feet. I am aspiring for the touch of his lotus-like hands on my head. In this way, Akura expected blessings from the hand of Krishna. He knew that Indra, who is the king of heaven and the master of the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems, was blessed by the Lord simply for his offering a little water, which Krishna accepted. Similarly, Bali Maharaj gave only 3 feet of land in charity to Vamanadev, and he also offered a little water, which Lord Vamanadev accepted, and thereby Bali Maharaj attained the position of Indra. When the gopis were dancing with Krishna in the Rasa dance, they became fatigued, and Krishna smeared his hand, which is as fragrant as a lotus flower, over the pearl-like drops of perspiration on the face of the gopis, on the faces of the gopis. And immediately they became refreshed. Thus Akura was expecting benediction from that supreme hand of Krishna. Krishna's hand is capable of bestowing benediction to all kinds of men if they take to Krishna consciousness. If one wants material happiness like the king of heaven, he can derive that benediction from the hand of Krishna. If one wants liberation from the pangs of material existence, he can also get benediction from the hand of Krishna. And if one, in pure transcendental love for Krishna, wants personal association and the touch of his transcendental body, he can also gain benediction from his hand. Akura was afraid, however, of being deputed by Kamsa, the enemy of Krishna. He thought, I'm going to see Krishna as a messenger of the enemy. At the same time, he thought, Krishna is in each and every heart as the supersoul. So he must know my heart. Although Akura was trusted by the enemy of Krishna, his heart was clear. He was a pure devotee of Krishna. He risked Kamsa's wrath just to meet Krishna. He was certain that although he was going as a representative of Kamsa, Krishna would not accept him as an enemy. Even though I am on a sinful mission, being deputed by Kamsa, when I approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I shall stand before him with all humility and folded hands. Surely he will be pleased with my devotional attitude, and maybe he will smile lovingly and look upon me and thereby free me from all kinds of sinful reaction. I shall then be on the platform of transcendental bliss and knowledge. Since Krishna knows my heart, certainly when I approach him, he will embrace me. I am not only one of the members of the Yadu dynasty, but I am an unalloyed pure devotee. By his merciful embrace, my body, my heart, and soul will be completely cleansed of the actions and reactions of my past life. When our bodies touch, I will immediately stand up with folded hands, with all humility. Certainly Krishna and Balaram will call me Akura, uncle, and at that time, my whole life will be glorious. Unless one is recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his life cannot be successful. It is clearly stated here that one should try to be recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's service and devotion, without which the human form of life is condemned. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is equal to everyone. Verse? Samaham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stina priyaha nabhajantya vijanati. You got it? 29. Samoham sarvabhusheshu name dveshosti napriyaha yeba janti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. That's the verse. Krishna says that he's equal to everyone, but one who worships him in devotion is a special, he's a friend to him, and that person lives in him. And also he is a friend to him. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is equal to everyone. He has no friends and no enemies, but he is inclined to a devotee who renders him service with devotional love. The Bhagavad Gita also declares that the Supreme Lord is responsive to the devotional service rendered by the devotee. Akrura thought that Krishna was like the desire tree in the heavenly planets, which gives fruit according to the desire of the worshipper. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is also the source of everything. A devotee must know how to render service unto him and thus be recognized by him. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita is therefore explained that one should serve both the spiritual master and Krishna simultaneously, and in that way make progress in Krishna consciousness. Service rendered to Krishna under the direction of the spiritual master is bona fide service because the spiritual master is the manifested representative of Krishna. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that when one satisfies the spiritual master, he satisfies the Supreme Lord. Verse? Yasya prasadad bhagava prasado, yasya prasadad nagati kutopi. Jayam stuvam stasya yasastri sandyam vande guru shri charanada vinam. Did you know that's by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur? You can check in the songbook. It's also noted by Vishnu Chakravarti. It is exactly like service in a government office. Anybody work in a government office? One has to work under the supervision of that departmental head. Are you coming back? Oh, I was going to ask your daughter to sing. Yeah? Guaranteed? Maybe. Okay. Just in case, maybe. Hare Krishna. Good to see you. Maybe blessed by the lotus hand of Krishna. She gives all benediction. Okay, so this is very important. One has to work under the supervision of the departmental head. So it's just like a government office. You work under the departmental head. If the supervisor of the departmental is satisfied with the service of a particular person, a promotion increase in pay will automatically come. Is that true? Used to be true. Akura then thought, when Krishna and Balaram are pleased with my prayers, certainly they will take my hand, receive me within their homes, and offer me all kinds of respectable hospitalities, and they will surely ask me of the activities of Kamsa and his friends. In this way, Akura, who was the son of Shwapalka, meditated on Sri Krishna on his journey from Mathura. He reached Vrindavan at the end of the day. Akura passed the whole journey without knowing how long it took. When he reached Vrindavan, the sun was setting. As soon as he entered the boundary of Vrindavan, he saw the footprints of the cows and Lord Krishna's footprints, impressed with the signs of his soul, the flag, trident, thunderbolt, and lotus flower. Upon seeing the footprints of Krishna, Akura immediately jumped down from the chariot out of respect. He became overwhelmed with all the symptoms of ecstasy. He wept and his body trembled. Out of extreme jubilation, upon seeing the dust touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, Akura fell flat on his face. It began to roll on the ground. Akura's journey to Vrindavan is exemplary. One who intends to visit Vrindavan should follow the ideal footsteps of Akura and always think of the pastimes and activities of the Lord. As soon as one reaches the boundary of Vrindavan, he should immediately smear the dust of Vrindavan over his body without thinking of his material position and prestige. Narottam Das Thakur has sung in his celebrated song, Vishaya Charya Kave Shudahoviman. When my mind will be purified after leaving the contamination of material sense enjoyment, I shall be able to visit Vrindavan. Actually, one cannot go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. The process of going to Vrindavan is shown by Akura. So there's different ways of entering the Dham. Some in the mode of passion, some in the mode of goodness. It used to be that, like Akura, he was riding on a chariot drawn by horses. And we used to enter by bullock cart. You get a train from to Mathura, and then from Mathura we'd hire a tonga, actually. And we'd take the tonga, clip-clop, clip-clop, and go into Vrindavan. So nowadays, however, you fly in on a jet, get in a fast car, and zoom, zoom, right into Vrindavan. And one of the things, car takes away, these fast modes of travel, it takes away this contemplative stage. When you're going slow and you can see footprints on the ground, you can't see anything from the car. It's going so fast, practically. So it's a little more passionate nowadays in the age of Kali Yuga, all this machinery that we invented to move faster. So we lose some of this contemplation and the aesthetics. Someone was mentioning recently that the Ayurveda says that one shouldn't travel any faster than one can go in a bullock cart. Anything faster than that is too fast. One cannot go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. The process of going to Vrindavan is shown by Akura. When Akura entered Vrindavan, he saw Krishna and Balaram engaged in supervising the milking of the cows. Krishna was dressed in yellow garments and Balaram in bluish. Anybody here ever milk a cow? Yeah? You've seen being milked? And did you have cows growing up? In New Vrindavan, you milked a cow. Bali, you had cows?
Yeah, we have now.
Now?
In India,
yeah. Oh, I thought now, maybe.
No.
Okay. In India, you have 20 cows at home. And you milk them? I see.
But I saw how they do it.
Akura also saw that Krishna's eyes were exactly like the beautifully grown lotus flower of the autumn season. He saw both Krishna and Balaram in the spring of their youth. Although both were similar in bodily features, Krishna was blackish in complexion, whereas Balaram was whitish. Both were the shelter of the goddess of fortune. They had well-constructed bodies, beautiful hands, and pleasing faces, and they were strong as elephants. Now, after seeing their footprints, Akura actually saw Krishna and Balaram. They were glancing at him with smiling faces. Akura could understand that both Krishna and Balaram had returned from tending cows in the forest. They had taken their baths and were dressed with fresh clothing and garlanded with flowers and necklaces made of valuable jewels. Both their bodies were smeared with the pulp of sandalwood. Akura greatly appreciated the aroma of flowers and sandalwood and their bodily presence. He considered himself very fortunate to see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his plenary expansion Balaram face to face, for he knew that they were the original personalities of the creation. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead and the cause of all causes. Verse? The cause of all causes. Akura could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared personally for the welfare of his creation, to reestablish the principles of religion, and to annihilate the demons. With their bodily effulgence, the brothers were dissipating all the darkness of the world, as if they were mountains of sapphire and silver. Without hesitating, Akura immediately got down from his chariot and fell flat, just like a rod, before Krishna and Balaram. Upon touching the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. His voice choked up and he could not speak. Due to Krishna's transcendental presence, incessant torrents of tears fell from his eyes. He remained stunned in ecstasy, as if devoid of all powers to see and speak. Lord Krishna, who is very kind to his devotees, raised Akura with his hand and embraced him. It appears that Lord Krishna was very pleased with Akura. Balaram also embraced Akura. Taking him by the hand, Krishna and Balaram brought him to their sitting room, where they offered him a very nice sitting place and water for washing his feet. They also worshipped him with suitable presentations of honey and other ingredients. When Akura was thus comfortably seated, both Krishna and Balaram offered him a cow in charity and then brought very palatable dishes and edibles, and Akura accepted them. When Akura finished eating, Balaram gave him betel nut and spices, as well as pulp of sandalwood, just to make him more pleased and comfortable. The Vedic system of receiving a guest was completely observed by Lord Krishna himself to teach others how to receive a guest at home. It is a Vedic injunction that even if a guest is an enemy, he should be received so well that he does not apprehend any danger from the host. If the host is a poor man, he should at least offer a straw mat as a sitting place and a glass of water to drink. Krishna and Balaram welcomed Akura, just befitting his exalted position. After Akura was thus properly received and seated, Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Krishna, said, "My dear Akura, what shall I inquire from you? I know that you are being protected by Kamsa, who is most cruel and demoniac. His protection is just like the slaughterhouse keeper's protection of animals he will kill in the future. Kamsa is so selfish that he has killed the sons of his own sister. So how can I honestly believe that he is protecting the citizens of Mathura?" This statement is most significant. If the political or executive heads of the state are simply interested in themselves, they can never look after the welfare of the citizens. As Nanda Maharaj spoke to Akura with pleasing words, Akura forgot all the fatigue of his day's journey from Mathura to Vrindavan. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, third chapter of Krishna, Akura's arrival in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Any points that you remember from the story?
This story says that Akura, he fell at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. I'm just wondering whether he did that in front of others, because Krishna and Balaram were just like cowherd boys, and the residents of Vrindavan, they do not know much about the. Although they know that Krishna and Balaram are very strong, they don't know much about the real opulence.
It doesn't say whether it's in the, you know, in front of others at the time. It doesn't mention. Yes.
You said that in most of the cases we talk about the lotus feet of the Lord, but here there's a lot of mention about his hands.
Yeah. That's a particular point made in this chapter. We'll hear a little bit more about that now. Any other things you remember from the chapter? Or that you liked?
think you mentioned about the contemplation while going to Vrindavan.
Yes.
Because that really purifies your mind before it touches the lotus feet of the Lord and the Dham. That's very important.
It is. And also, some of our acharyas have said that, you know, going to Vrindavan physically is not actually necessary. If we, anywhere we are in the world, if we meditate on Vrindavan, like through this story, for instance, and the feeling that Akura had as he's going into Vrindavan, then that's as good as being in Vrindavan. We can cultivate that within our mind and our heart. Any other thing you remember from the story?
The other important point, which is Nanda Maharaj mentioned about the slaughterhouse, which is really applicable nowadays, which primarily, you know, we think that the government is protecting the citizens, but somehow or other they are sucking the blood of the citizens. So yeah. That's a very good example which is given by Prabhupada. Nanda Maharaj told to Akura.
Yeah.
And then they know that what is the outcome may not be today, but in future he's going to kill you. Or yeah. In that mentality is there.
Yeah, very much so. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Now here are a few comments from the Sarta Darshini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from the same story. Akura's arrival in Vrindavan. Shukadev Goswami said, after passing the night in the city of Mathura, the high-minded Akura mounted his chariot and set off for the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This chapter describes how Krishna fulfilled all the desires of Akura and welcomed him with appropriate hospitality. King Kamsa ordered Keshi and Akura to go to Vraja on the Ekadashi of the dark fortnight of the Vedic month of Phalgun. The next morning, Keshi was killed in Vrindavan by Krishna. Akura set off for Vraja, and Narada praised Krishna. In the afternoon, Vyomasur was killed, and at dusk, Akura entered Vraja. Tam Ratrim means the night of Ekadashi. Akura is described as greatly intelligent, Mahamatihi, because he stayed up the whole night of Ekadashi discussing the glories of Krishna and worshipping him. The next morning, without even breaking his Ekadashi fast, Akura left Mathura. Text 2. As he traveled on the road, the great soul Akura felt tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, and thus he began to consider as follows. Sri Akura thought, what pious deeds have I done? What severe austerities undergone, what worship performed or charity given, so that today I will see Lord Keshava. Vishwanath, Akura happily reflected, what have I possibly done to be qualified to see the Lord? Text 4. Since I am a materialistic person absorbed simply in sense gratification, I think it is as difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see the Lord, Uttama Shloka, as it would be for one born a Shudra to be allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. Vishwanath, overcome with humility, Akura thought, it is rare that I, a materialist absorbed in sense gratification, would get the chance to see the Lord, just as it is unusual for a born Shudra to recite the Vedas. 5. But enough of such thoughts. After all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord, for one of the conditioned souls, being swept along in the river of time, may sometimes reach the shore. Vishwanath, Akura subdued his humiliation by his intelligence and determination, and thought, though I am low, it is possible for me to see the Lord. Text 6. Today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated and my birth has become worthwhile, since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. Vishwanath, becoming more certain, Akura thought with confidence. Text 7. Indeed, today King Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world. Simply by the effulgence of his toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. Vishwanath, Akura thought, furthermore, even though I have been ordered to do this by Kamsa, who hates Krishna, I have actually gotten a very favorable result. Amazingly, even though Kamsa is an envious rascal, today he has been especially merciful to me because he has sent me to see Krishna. Previously, such persons as Ambarish were delivered from the material world by one ray of the effulgent lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Text 8. Those lotus feet are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and all the other demigods, by the goddess of fortune, and also by the great sages and Vaishnavas. Upon those lotus feet, the Lord walks about the forest while herding the cows with his companions, and those feet are smeared with the kumkum from the gopis' breasts. Vishwanath, Akura thought, today I will see those lotus feet, which are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and other chief demigods with incessant offerings of flowers, scents, and ghee, which follow after the cows along with his companions, and which relish the remnants of kumkum from the breasts of the gopis. One should not object that it is rasabhas, incompatible overlapping of mellows, for Akura, who is in dasya bhav, to taste the conjugal mellow madhurya ras of his master, Sri Krishna. After all, Akura is only thinking of these things within himself. It is often seen that parents and other relatives enthusiastically take pleasure within their own minds in the conjugal enjoyments of their own children. Text 9. Surely I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda, since the deer are now walking past me on my right. That face, framed by his curly hair, is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose, his smiling glances, and his reddish lotus eyes. Vishwanath, seeing the auspicious omen of a deer, Akura ascertains the sure fulfillment of his desire in this verse. Akura thought, it is sure that I will see Krishna's smiling face surrounded by his curly locks, lotus eyes, sweet glance, beautiful cheeks, and nose. 10. I am going to see the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the reservoir of all beauty, who, by his own sweet will, has now assumed a human-like form to relieve the earth of her burden. Thus, there is no denying that my eyes will achieve the perfection of their existence. Vishwanath. But, one may object, even demons get Krishna's darshan, so why do you praise your own good fortune in this matter? Akura thought, now Vishnu, whose extraordinary beauty I am realizing in my heart, has appeared by his sweet will within our own dynasty of Vaivasvatamanu. The demons may see him, but they do not perceive his sweetness. Will my eyes not become successful today? Surely they will. Text 11. He is the witness of material cause and effect, yet he is always free from false identification with them. By his internal potency, he dispels the darkness of separation and confusion. The individual souls in this world who are manifested here, when he glances upon his material creative energy, indirectly perceive him in the activities of their life airs, senses, and intelligence. Vishwanath, Akura thought, now one can see the beautiful human-like form of Krishna in Nandagram, whereas persons like myself perceive Krishna always and everywhere in his form as the indwelling supreme controller. The Supersoul witnesses the good and bad actions of all living entities, yet he is devoid of the false ego of thinking, I am seeing. The living entity, on the other hand, is a seer who has the false ego of identifying with his body. The Supersoul, however, who sits within the body as the constant observer, does not identify with the material body. How can we distinguish between being free of false ego and being afflicted by it? One may object, if a living entity is situated in a body, he will encounter the unhappiness and confusion that occur within it. Just as a person living in a house whether he be attached to it or not, cannot avoid experiencing the darkness, warmth, and cold that occur within it. This objection is answered as follows. By his internal potency, Krishna dispels the darkness of ignorance along with the separateness and bewilderment it produces. That Supersoul, who is his personal potency, Swatejasa, has manifested the vital airs, senses, and intelligence within the individual souls, is perceived by these faculties as being their creator. Furthermore, it has been said, Guna Prakashar, Anumiyate Bhavan, one can realize the beauty of your form by the awakening of transcendental knowledge. Text 12. All sins are destroyed and all good fortune created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities, and appearances, and words that describe these three things animate, beautify, and purify the world. On the other hand, words bereft of his glories are like the decorations on a corpse. Would you like to hear the verse again? I'm not convinced. Yeah? All sins are destroyed and all good fortune created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities, and appearances. And words that describe these three things animate, beautify, and purify the world. On the other hand, words bereft of his glories are like the decorations on a corpse. Vishwanath, glorification of Lord Sri Krishna delivers the world. Poetic compositions about Krishna's birth, qualities, and activities destroy the sins of all people, give life to the reciter and listener, endow a person with good qualities such as mercy and freedom from illusion, and purify one from the fault of ignorance. On the other hand, those words which do not describe Krishna's birth, activities, and qualities, though they may be endowed with good literary qualities and ornaments, are simply like the ornaments decorating a dead body. Text 13. That same Supreme Lord has descended into the dynasty of the Satvatas to delight the exalted demigods who maintain the principles of religion he has created. Residing in Vrindavan, he spreads his fame, which the demigods glorify in song and which brings auspiciousness to all. Vishwanath, yat means which fame? 14. Today I shall certainly see him, the goal and spiritual master of the great souls. Seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes, for he is the true beauty of the universe. Indeed, his personal form is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. Vishwanath, Akura considered, today my eyes will relish a veritable festival of bliss. I will see Sri Krishna, whose form is the reservoir of the conjugal attractions of the rasa dance and aspired for by the goddess of fortune who forever resides on Vishnu's chest. The mornings following many nights have brought auspiciousness for me. Otherwise, it is implied, without so many sleepless nights, this fruit would never have come about. Text 15. Then I will at once alight from my chariot and bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the supreme personalities of Godhead. Theirs are the same feet that great mystic yogis striving for self-realization bear within their minds. I will also offer my obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriends and to all the other residents of Vrindavan. Vishwanath, Akura thought, as soon as I see Krishna and Balaram, I will immediately jump off my chariot, bow down, and hold on to their lotus feet, which yogis embrace only with their intelligence in the course of self-realization. I will also bow down to the companions of Krishna and Balaram and to all the residents of Raja. Text 16. And when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand upon my head. For those who seek shelter in him, because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. Vishwanath, Akura thought, and Krishna will place his lotus hand, which bestows fearlessness, upon all living entities on my head. 17. By offering charity to that lotus hand, Purandara and Bali earned the status of Indra, king of heaven. And during the pleasure pastimes of the rasa dance, when the Lord wiped away the gopis' perspiration and removed their fatigue, the touch of their faces made that hand as fragrant as a sweet flower. Vishwanath, by offering water to symbolize one's intention, sankalpa, to give charity, Purandara and Bali perfectly worshipped that hand and attained the post of Indra to rule over the three worlds. The offerings of water into the Lord's hand were performed by Purandara during the avatar of Sarvabhauma and by Bali during the avatar of Vamanadeva. Thus, Purandara became Indra and Bali will attain the post in the future. At the time of the rasa dance, Krishna used his lotus hand to wipe away the drops of perspiration from the limbs of the gopis, which had arisen from the fatigue of enjoyment. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.20. This subtly indicates that just as Krishna's lotus feet, although worshipped by Brahma and other demigods, carry the remnants of kumkum from the gopis' breasts, similarly his lotus hands, even though worshipped by such personalities as Indra and Bali, performed the service of wiping away the perspiration from the faces of the gopis. Such is the super excellence of the sweet mood of the Vraja gopis. What is the nature of Krishna's lotus hand? The Puranas call the lotus hand in the Manasarovara lake a Sogandika. Sri Krishna's hand acquired the aroma of this flower by touching the beautiful, fragrant faces of the gopis. Though Akura was a Dasya Bhakta, because he is speaking to himself, there is no Rasa Bhas. Text 18. The infallible Lord will not consider me an enemy, even though Kamsa has sent me here as his messenger. After all, the omniscient Lord is the actual knower of the field of this material body, and with his perfect vision he witnesses both externally and internally all the endeavors of the conditioned soul's heart. This is a very important verse. I'm going to read it again. The infallible Lord will not consider me an enemy, even though Kamsa has sent me here as his messenger. After all, the omniscient Lord is the actual knower of the field of this material body. And with his perfect vision, he witnesses, both externally and internally, all the endeavors of the conditioned soul's heart. Vishwanath, though all this be true, Akura still feared that it would be impossible to get Krishna's mercy. Therefore, he refutes this idea with this verse. Akura thought, though I am Krishna's messenger and have been sent to him, Krishna will understand that I am not his enemy because he is present both outside and inside my heart. Krishna witnesses not only my activities, but all the activities of everyone in the universe. Om agyanate mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militanjena tasmai shri gurave nama jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. In this pastime, we hear the symptoms of Ashabhanda, which means hoping against hope for the mercy of the Lord. This is one of the symptoms of advanced devotional service, which is mentioned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami when he gives 9 symptoms of bhava. The bhava stage is mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There's a progression of advancement in devotional service. And what the progression is gauged by is a thickening of one's faith, shraddha. Ado shraddha tata sarusanga da bhajana kriya tato narta nivritti syat tato nishta ruchi stata. So in the beginning, the faith comes by agyata sukriti. One gets the association of devotees unknowingly and does some kind of service. And from that, one gets the initial faith. And from that faith, one desires the association of devotees. Once one is in the association of devotees, one takes up the process of devotional service. And once one is officially engaged in the process of devotional service, then one begins the process of anartha nivritti, or giving up of unwanted habits and unwanted contaminations within the heart. Unless one is officially engaged in the process of devotional service, he or she will hardly know that there are any kind of anarthas within the heart, because we haven't declared war yet. When I officially declare war and say that I'm doing this, then it makes all the difference in the world. Just like on a fasting day, if you say, well, maybe I'll fast, maybe I won't, then all day long your mind will be wavering back and forth. But if you've already decided, then first of all, your success is guaranteed. And second of all, then you'll notice the struggle that goes on within you for withholding eating on that day. So anartha nivritti satato nishta ruchistata. After anartha nivritti comes nishta, or a steadiness in devotional service. Then ruchi anasaktistato bhava. And then we come to the stage of bhava. Asakti, then bhava. And that means that attachment, and then this stage of bhava. And the bhava stage is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, shantir avyarta kala tvam, viraktir mana shunyata, ashabanda samutkanta, namagana sadaruchi. So one of the symptoms of bhava is called ashabanda, which means hope against hope. And it's described that, and it's being exhibited by Akura in this chapter, that although he feels unqualified to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he has this hope that because Krishna is all-merciful, he will still have the opportunity. This same kind of sentiment comes out in Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. When he first begins speaking to Lord Nrsimhadev in his prayer, he says that the demigods have all kinds of good qualities. They know Sanskrit. They're in the mode of goodness. They're very expert in all the Vedic rites. And still they haven't satisfied you. Then he says, what to speak of me? I'm not born in the mode of goodness. I was born from a demon's family. And I don't know Sanskrit. I'm just a little boy. What are my qualifications? And then he remembered how the Lord was merciful to Gajendra. He said that Gajendra was just an elephant. And Gajendra achieved the complete mercy of the Lord. Therefore, he said, I must try. Because if anyone approaches the Lord with sincere feeling, because the Lord is so merciful, then the Lord will give his benediction. So this is the feeling of ashabanda, that I may be unqualified in many different ways. There are three ways mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion. One is that I don't fit into the Varnashram system. I'm not born into Varnashram. This is generally the case in the Kali Yuga. Everyone's born as a Shudra or lower. Kalo Shudra Sambhava means that Kali Yuga is such a contaminated age that practically there's no status by birth at all. The Garbhadhan samskar is practically discarded, and therefore Kalu Shudra Sambhava, everyone's born as a Shudra. So I have no standing in the Varnashram system. Also, I don't know any kind of, I've made no progress in the yoga system, and I'm not a very learned person. But still, he thinks, because the Lord is all merciful, I'm hoping against hope for his special mercy, that he'll bestow it upon me. Two things. One is that Krishna is all merciful. And the next thing is that he's all powerful. Those two things are important. Because if he was all merciful but not all powerful, then he couldn't bestow his mercy, even if he wanted to. And if was, and we find if he was if he was all powerful but not all merciful, we'd be in trouble. So Krishna is both all powerful and all merciful. So in the feeling of Ashabandha, we can keep this idea that Krishna is all powerful and he's all merciful. So therefore, with sincerity, let me pray to Krishna, please, although I'm unqualified. And this is a good mantra, actually. When I was just in Vrindavan, one of my godbrothers who takes devotees around Vrindavan was taking groups of devotees around Govardhan Hill into Radhakund. So he gave them a mantra before they would enter into Govardhan, into Radhakund. You want to learn the mantra? You sure? Okay, I'll teach it to you. He'd teach them this mantra before they'd enter into the Radhakund. I'm not qualified. Try it. I'm not qualified. Then you can, this is your qualification. I'm not qualified, Hare Krishna. Of course, it doesn't mean when we say I'm not qualified, then to not move forward. We should also move forward. There's a stricture given by Rupa Goswami in his Upanishamrita, which is called Niyamagraha. And Niyamagraha means that there's two ways that one can fall from the path of devotional service. One way is not following the rules and regulations. There are various rules and regulations set up so that we can control our senses and move forward on the path of devotional service. And if I give those up and just act willy-nilly, then I'll fall down. I won't make progress. Or I should say, I won't make progress and then I'll fall down. And the other is to follow the rules and regulations just for the sake of following them, not for the sake of making advancement and not even knowing what their purpose is. That's another cause of fall down. And also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that another kind of niyamagraha is when one is qualified to move forward, to make advancement in devotional service, but then he or she doesn't make the move. In other words, keeps this mantra, I'm not qualified, but then doesn't move forward, doesn't actually take steps to move forward on the authorized path of devotional service. This is a this is also a cause for fall down. So it's an interesting topic, isn't it? Because on one hand, Krishna tells Uddhava in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sve Sve Adhikariya Nishta Sagunan Parikirtita, that it's a good quality for one to act according to one's adhikari, one's qualification. On the other hand, vipariyo tu dosha syad, he says it's a bad quality if the opposite is true, is if you don't have adhikari and you act according to a higher level of devotional service, this is a fault. However, there's a point at which, and this is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book called Chaitanya Shikshamrita, one is advancing in devotional service and realizes that I have securely reached a certain level, and therefore one must move forward in devotional service. Move to the next step. One Ishapanishad sold. Is it coming out of that black bag? Okay, put a tag on their bag saying they owe. Look, we should have a little tag system, right? Could we implement this? I want to have a sign up that says cell phone. When your cell phone goes off, it's one Ishapanishad, $5. Then I'll have a stack of tags here, and we'll pass them out like a little thing. Is that okay? Just make sure it doesn't have my phone in it, though. Okay. All right. Thank you, Nirkula. Either that or $5. And then we'll pass out the tags, and at the end of the day, we can add it up. So there's a point at which when we realize that we've made advancement to a certain point, we must endeavor to move forward to the next higher level and not stay where we are. Otherwise, this is another kind of niyamagraha, and it is a cause for fall down. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one shouldn't move too fast in devotional service, trying to move above one's adhikari, but he says one must also not move too slow, because that's also a cause for fall down. Do you find that interesting? On a scale of 1 to 10, how interesting do you find it? Just one? Okay. Go ahead. You have a comment.
So moving too fast can cause fall down? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
It's possible.
Okay.
Do you want to ask more about that?
No, yeah. My next question was, how do we know that we are moving too fast?
Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita as like when you're moving from, if you're climbing a tree and you're moving from one branch to the next. So once your foot is firmly secure on one branch and you feel you have some foothold there. You ever climb a tree when you were a kid? Okay, you know, once your foot is secure, then that's how you climb a tree. You know, you get to one place, how am I going to get there? You look at it, and then you figure out where's the next place my foot's going to go, and you find a place, and you put your foot there. Once it's secure, then you move your next foot. You find your next move, and you move up. But you should be looking to move on. And if you just scramble up without getting a firm footing, you could slip off of that. Is that helpful? Bali Mardan Prabhu? Same question. Yeah, it's an interesting question. We discussed this a lot in Govardhan this year because this idea of surrender, you know, Krishna says, surrender to me and I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. So then, you know, everyone wants to know, well, you know, how do I do that? And when do I do that? Or should I do it immediately? Does it mean giving up everything right now? Well, that's possible. But generally it's said, you know, by degrees. And the point is that this can be misused, that I may say, well, I'm not qualified and therefore I don't move. So, you know, we can fall from that position by not keeping the momentum and moving forward in devotional service. Yes, Rakshit Prabhu.
Forward, one is first declaring that I'm not qualified and then taking that step. So is it that in the declaration, one is affirming faith in Krishna?
Mm-hmm.
That by saying that, one is asking for his mercy to support it and then moving forward.
Yeah, and that's the sense in this pastime. You hear Akura saying that, essentially, I'm not qualified. How do I deserve this? And then in the next breath, he'll be saying, you know, Krishna's all merciful. He's given his mercy to many others just by the touch of his hand. He talks about Bali Maharaj. And also, this idea of sincerity comes in this pastime because, after all, why is Akura going to Vrindavan? Why is he going there? Who sent him? Kamsa sent him. It's a really bad mission, if you think about it. First of all, he's going to take Krishna away from Vrindavan. I mean, that's really bad. And second of all, he's taking him to Kamsa. And why does Kamsa want him? Kamsa wants him killed. He wants him to die. You know, Akura knows all this. He knows who Kamsa is. He works for him. And he's taking this order of Kamsa to come and pick up Krishna in Vrindavan. And all the way there, he's just thinking about, you know, devotional service to Krishna. And then he has this side thought that, you know, this doesn't look great, actually, because I'm being sent by Kamsa, who is intending to kill Krishna. He's Krishna's enemy. Thank you. Hare Krishna. And then he thinks, however, because Krishna is the omniscient supersoul within everyone's heart, he knows my real reason of going here. So this is an interesting point because, and it's a relevant point, practical, because we may be in many different kinds of situations externally. But internally, it's very important what our intention is. Bali Maharaj, for instance, was the king of the demons, and he was in a very bad situation. He had stolen Indra's post. He had stolen Indra's post, and he was heading the demons who had overturned the order of the universe. And here comes Vamanadeva. And Vamanadeva was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bali Maharaj was blessed by him. Why? Because he's Bhavagrahi Janardana. Krishna is known as Bhavagrahi Janardana because he's Bhavagrahi because he knows the bhav. He knows the feeling of the devotee. Very, very important verse in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Karabhajana Muni, where he says, Swapadamulam bhajata priyasya tektanya bhavasya hari pariyasaha vikarma yachchotpatitam katanchid tunoti sarvam hridi sannivishtaha. That Krishna knows the sincerity within the heart of the devotee. He knows his propensity to surrender to him. He knows that's what he wants to do. Material nature is inexorable. It's very hard to overcome. Krishna says it in the Bhagavad Gita, Daiva hiyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Duratya means very difficult to overcome. It's so, the senses are so powerful that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, even a man of discrimination, that means a highly educated, learned person who's trying to control the senses, may be overcome by the senses because they're so powerful. Vishwamrita Muni was a very accomplished yogi in 10,000 years of sense control. And then one of the senses came out and bit him. And he was overcome. It's very difficult to overcome the senses in this world. Krishna knows the power of his own material nature. That's why he gives us that instruction in that verse. And then he says, Swapada mulam bhajata priyasya, that the devotees are very dear to him. Who's a devotee? A devotee is someone who's trying to surrender his life to Krishna. That's his mood. That's his bhava. And therefore, Krishna says, Karabhajana Muni says, Vikarma yachchot patitam katanchid tunoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. Even if such a person is occasionally overcome by worldliness and does some vikarma, Krishna has entered within his heart and he rectifies the reaction to that. Or he tailor makes the reaction for that particular devotee so that he's not forced to do that again. Or so that his propensity to enjoy the material world or his propensity to fall away from the path becomes rectified. So Krishna's Bhavagrahi Janardana, he knows whatever external activity we're engaged in, he knows what our sincerity of purpose is. So it's important to recultivate regularly our sincerity of purpose and to examine our motive and our intention as we're performing devotional service. This is the most important aspect. And that is very much apparent in this verse as occurs riding on the chariot going towards Vrindavan. And he's thinking of how Krishna will look and how he will receive benediction from the hand of Krishna. And he's meditating on what he'll do when he gets to Vrindavan, how he'll fall down in the dust. And he does. When he comes into Vrindavan and he sees the footprints of Krishna on the ground with special markings, then he immediately falls from his chariot on the ground and rolls in the dust. And Prabhupada says in his commentary in the Krishna book that this is exemplary. This is how we should enter Vrindavan, is when we come into the boundary of Vrindavan without considering any our position in life or any of the external surroundings. We should fall on the ground and we should roll in the dust and take that dust from Krishna's lotus feet on our head. So those dhulis, those dust particles are there all throughout Vrindavan. Krishna walked everywhere in the Vrindavan. Therefore, it's a very sacred place. And as I was saying before, the Acharyas have said, if we can't go to Vrindavan physically, we should think about it in our minds and meditate on Krishna's shelter. Samasrita ye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murarihe. Krishna killed the Murari demon, the Mura demon. Therefore, he's known as Murari. And so many other demons. Krishna defeated Aristasura, and he beat him like a child beats a wet rag. We read that pastime when we were in Vrindavan. Actually, that's where Manasi Ganga comes from. There's a sacred kund in Vrindavan. It's very close. It's at Govardhan Hill, actually. And it's a lake. It's called Manasi Ganga. And that lake was created from the mind of Krishna. Do you know the story? After Krishna killed Aristasura, what kind of demon did Arista appear as? A bull. You can't kill a bull, can you? Anyway, Krishna killed him. That bull was so fearsome that the ground rumbled when he came into town. But Krishna, he beat him at, just like a child beats a wet rag. And after we heard that pastime, one morning we were on Parikram, we were walking by a doorway, and there was a woman in there, and she had a wet rag, and she was beating it with a stick over and over again as we walked by. And one of the devotees remembered the pastime and started laughing. I said, "Why are you laughing?" I said, "I was remembering Krishna beating Aristasura like a wet rag." But after he killed Arista, Radharani said to him, "I'm sorry, but you know, you're going to have to purify yourself before I talk to you anymore, because you've created a great sin. You killed a bull." And she convinced him that he has to perform this prayaschitta. So she said, that, you know, the only solution is you're going to have to go to all these holy rivers all over the world and take bath. And Krishna said, "Fine, I'll take the prayaschitta, but I'm not leaving Vrindavan." Therefore, from with his mind, he called all the holy rivers to come there. And they formed this lake called Manasi Ganga. And there he took his bath for supposed purification. And that lake remains there in Vrindavan. Anyone can go there and take bath in the Manasi Ganga. Also, Krishna performed other pastimes on the Manasi Ganga lake with Radharani and the other devotees. So, a couple of important points from this pastime. One is that Krishna can benedict with his lotus hand. Just by the touch of his lotus hand, he can bestow all benediction. And Akura was meditating on and expecting that benediction from Krishna. So this is the great nectar of life and devotional service. I should feel that I'm unqualified. But at the same time, I should remember that Krishna is all-merciful and all-powerful. And therefore, he can bestow any benediction upon me if I am sincere. If I sincerely keep this desire within my heart to attain Krishna, he will fulfill that desire. And we can also remember that doesn't matter externally, whatever external situation I'm forced into in this lifetime, there may be various incompatible situations that I find myself within. If I continue to cultivate devotional service, then Krishna will free me from the obligations and the restrictive duties of this life. Yes, Twindra Gopa Mata Vendra Mahosa Karma Bandan Rupa Palabhajana Matunoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. When I was engaged in service to Krishna, becomes gradually free from all the influences of karma. And everyone's subjected to that, from Indra down to the Indra Gopa germ. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Three reflections or questions? Yes. Sridhar Prabhu.
when you when you mentioned the when you mentioned the name of Murari, it's the name of Krishna, but they say there is no Mura demon in this yuga, and Krishna had killed Mura demon in his previous incarnation.
Any comments on that? In general, he's famous as killing the Mura demon. Doesn't matter which millennium or, you know, whatever time. It's not consequential. Point is that that's his... He's all powerful and can kill any demon who comes. And this also Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a point of in his Shikshamrita, that the demons or the anartas that conditioned souls carry in their heart, the demons are representative of those anartas. Each demon represents a one or another kind of anarta within the heart. Vyomasura, for instance, is a demon who came and disguised himself when the cowherd boys were playing cops and robbers. He disguised himself as one of the boys and played along with them just so that he could get closer and try to kill Krishna. And that kind of, that demon is represented the anarta of falsity, or externally showing oneself as a devotee while keeping ulterior motives within one's heart. So just as Krishna killed Vyomasura, for instance, I may have ulterior motive. Prabhupada says in one place, our devotional practice should be strict, serious, and without ulterior motive. And if it is so, then if it is without ulterior motive and is strict and serious, then our success is guaranteed. All we need is strict, serious, and without ulterior motive. So if I have some ulterior motive, what can I do? So I could pray to Krishna to kill the demon, to kill that anarta of Vyomasura within my heart. So this is how we take shelter of Krishna. Samasrita ye padapalava plavam mahaparam punya yasho marade bhavambadir vatsa padam param padam param yadvi padam natesham. That this fearful material existence, which is fraught with many missteps. In fact, padam padam yad vipadam means that at every step there's danger. Anything can happen in this world at any time. And I must therefore take shelter of Krishna. And that dangerous material existence shrinks to the size of the water contained within the hoofprint of a calf when I do. Yes, Bali Prabhu.
I think coming back to your the original discussion about the slow and fast, likely, I give an example on my own experience. Maybe you can comment on that. So when I came to Krishna consciousness in likely officially chanting my rounds in 97, so after, you know, in Delhi, then I associating with the devotees. And by hearing what I did is in that year or 1 or 2 years, I don't remember exact years, but somewhere between 98 or 99. So I first did my Nirjala Ekadasi. So because we are hearing, even I didn't do the Ekadasi maybe before or first I started the Nirjala Ekadasi, by hearing the devotees are doing that. So because it was not that purified and I was, you know, initially in sinful activities and many other bad habits, so I imagine that the night, I think that I will die. Very surely, I can say, by 10 p.m. or without drinking. Because you just imagine somebody is doing a severe austerities without really going through a certain purificatory process. It's not recommended. And neither I take any guidance or counsel from anyone. Just I did on my own. I thought, I determined, I decided, my friends are doing. But one should judge that there are people in a different level, who are coming from different background and they are, you know, their standard of devotion may be different, and you cannot conclude or jump that you'll be all in the same stage unless you really chant or come to the stage. So to say, that night I think 10, 11, I'm counting the, I could not sleep also. And in India, I think Nirjala at that time is like summer season, not like here. It's really hot. And in Delhi means it's horrible and extreme, and that too situation. And by anyway, Krishna's mercy, I was able to complete, and I was noting down the time was 5:45 to break the fast. That somehow Nirjala Ekadasi, so I have to get lemon juice. But the point I was trying to say is this fast and thing is one has to really go as per Brahma Samhita, slow degrees, based on you see how much you can accommodate the austerities and how much you can really practice and gradually develop, instead of really abruptly jumping a severe austerities which might really yield some bad results. But eventually it will give something. Comment on that.
Yeah, it's very nice. It goes along with the theme of the earlier part of the class. Sway sway adhikariya nishta sagunan pari kirtitaha. If I try to do some kind of performance of devotional service beyond my adhikari, beyond my qualification, it doesn't look well. In fact, it's a fault, says Krishna to Uddhava in the Bhagavatam. And in the Krishna book, we read earlier the chapter about Akuras entering Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada made a very strong point about taking guidance as we move forward in devotional service from a spiritual master. We shouldn't self-medicate and decide what's good for us or what's bad for us. We should take help from spiritual master. If we have help from spiritual master who's more experienced and has been through stages and can say, go this speed, go a little bit faster, then we're assured of moving at the right pace. That helps us greatly to move forward and to know what our station is and not take too much or too little at the same time. You know, it's always important also for someone to push us. If they see potential in us that we're not utilizing and they can push us a little bit more, then, you know, we move forward. So, yes, it goes to this point of Niyamagraha, that if I try to do too much imitating someone who I'm not qualified to imitate, then I may cause myself some fall. You know, I may cause fall down, actually, because I've taken too much. Nice point. Thank you. One more reflection or question. Hare Krishna. Anything you remember from the story? Should I read the whole thing again?
I just remember the last part where it talks about how Krishna took care of the guests and how he did that to set an example to others in the world, how we should take care of people who come to visit us.
Right, yeah, that was the point. When Akura came to visit Krishna and Balaram, they gave him all comforts, even gave him a cow in charity and fed him, washed his feet, and so on. So it's important to take care of a guest like that. In fact, Vedic culture, Prabhupada said, is that even if an enemy comes to visit us, we should make him or her feel so comfortable that person doesn't feel that I'm an unwanted person or I'm not an honored guest.
Akrura, while going to Vrindavan, he was meditating on Krishna all the time in various ways. He was kind of talking to himself, you know, like, I am coming here and Kamsa's harder, but Krishna knows that I am not inimical to him because he's a super soul. He knows about me. So he was contemplating and totally in total meditation with Krishna all the way. And when he saw the footprints of Krishna in Vrindavan, he just prostrated himself, rolled down in the dust over there, and he was overwhelmed with the spiritual ecstasy.
Did you like that?
Yes, I like it.
Yeah, it's a very nice pastime. So we can remember the lotus hand of Krishna and how he's given benediction to Purandara, to Bali Maharaj, to the gopis, and just by the touch of his hand, all benediction is there. So we have no other recourse in this world except to pray for Krishna and to remember I'm unqualified, but because Krishna is all-powerful and all-merciful, he can give his supreme benediction. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Akura ki jai, Gaur Premanande Adibo. Now we're going to have an arti ceremony, dynamic meditation, kirtan. So let's put away all the asanas and the holy scriptures. Oh, now we're having Damodar Ashtakam, it's the last night of the Kartik Vrat. So put away the books and keep the asanas for Damodar Ashtakam.